Music. Music, as almost all of you know, I think, can take you to a completely different place. It certainly is true for me. I can be in the very worst of moods and throw on a set of headphones, listen to some of my favorite music, like the stuff you hear on the show, and it'll just take me to a completely different place. And Ethan in Chico, California asks, I was just wondering what cats and dogs think of music. Do they enjoy it? Do they understand what it is? Do they, I would add, get taken to a different place in the way we do? We'll ask Amelia in a moment. Well, all right. Our guest is Amelia Kincaid. The Language of Miracles and Straight from the Horse's Mouth are her books. I'm assuming you can find them on Amazon.com and all the normal places, Amelia, correct?
You bet. Thank you for that shameless plug.
No problem.
Love
Thank you for being here. What about music?
Well, they absolutely love it, but not all animals like the kind of music we think they like. If there's a piano in the house, the cats are going to tell me about it. Cats love piano music. I've always had jazz cats myself. So they love jazz. But you know, people who leave the radio on thinking that animals are just going to want to hear human jabber and commercials, that's not necessarily true. One time I had a workshop where the teacher was a parrot, and I said, "What's your favorite thing?" And she said, "When mommy sings to me and dances around." And a lot of the people in the room got the same thing. And one time I spoke to a German shepherd who said his favorite thing in the world was when daddy would ride it with him in the pickup and sing to the ridiculous music on the radio, which turned out to be, what is it, Clarence Clearwater Revival.
Sure.
And my own cat, Mr. Jones, who was one of the stars of The Language of Miracles, who's now in heaven, his favorite piece of music and the only song he would ever sing along to was Chopin's Nocturne in E minor. And whenever I played this one particular song, I promise you, I'm not making this up, my big Maine Coon cat would come out and meow along to it.
That's what
Wow,
I've got, by the
wow.
way. I've got two Maine Coons.
Oh, they're so close to my heart.
They're brilliant cats. They're very smart.
They're very, very special,
All
magical
right.
cats.
I've got a lot of people who want to talk to you,
I'll
so let's
bet.
see what we've got out there. Mike in Ohio, you're on with Amelia Kincaid. Hi.
Good evening, Art and Amelia.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Art. I have four cats inside and at least three outside that I take care of.
Yes.
Amelia, it was either Edgar Casey or Seth that said that the Sphinxes of Egypt, which there are many of, represented that the soul was drawn here initially to the cat's body. Then, after reincarnating, could the soul inhabit the human body? So, Amelia, I wondered if you had ever experienced anything that would verify that idea.
All the time, and this is so controversial, and it also eliminates that idea of human hierarchy in a food chain. If I'm working with animals who are telling me that they used to be human, or if I've got a horse that says it used to be a cat, or a cat that says it
Oh, this
used to be. Now, this happens all the time.
very controversial. You obviously believe in reincarnation,
Oh, sure.
and you believe in cross-species reincarnation.
I didn't set out to prove that. And even when I wrote the first book, I didn't think that that was true. I thought that animals pretty much stayed within their own species boundaries. And then, over time, I've seen it happen too often. And I had one gal who came to me for a reading years ago, and her little dog said that, no, I'm sorry, her ferret said that it used to be a black and white dog that had died the year before. And the girl burst into tears and said that the reason, and the spirit told me that it came back as a ferret because she wasn't allowed to have dogs in her new apartment building. So he wanted to be with her and he had to take another form, so he came back as a ferret. They'll come back in any form that they can in order to be close to us.
That's remarkable.
And the African shaman believe, and have always believed, that their ancestors are lions. and that the lions are sacred beings. And I work down there with those shaman. And they do believe that humans and lions are interchangeable. And even Casey didn't necessarily believe that all species can reincarnate as other species, although I think that now we can, but that dolphins and humans were interchangeable.
Wow.
Which means we better take a closer look at how we're taking care of them.
I guess so. David in California, you're on with Amelia.
Amelia, first-time caller. I love listening to what you're talking about. I had a finch come to me one day and come in my bedroom, fly in my house, needed healing, and I'm a healer. And I healed it, and when it left in the morning, I carried it out in my hand, and it was ready to go. It was healed. And it turned and looked at me, and I could almost hear its voice and said, thank you. Now, my question that I wanted from that time to get better at speaking to the animals, I feel very awkward at speaking with them. What, if you could give a little more detail of exactly how you accomplish that, what is exactly going on in your thinking and what you're feeling at those moments when you're speaking to these animals?
Trust your first impulse. When the information comes in from the outside, it's lightning fast, and you're going to get a flash of a picture, a word, a feeling, a taste, a sensation. It's subtle and it's quick. And if you learn how to send a thought, isolate one single thought as your question, send that thought, and then go black. Move into that silence inside your own heart where you're sitting in absolute quiet, feeling nothing but love. The information comes flying in. And then you learn how to listen to things that are moving that quickly on such a subtle frequency.
All right, Amelia, let's say you're in a house with three cats, as I am, and you want to specifically speak with or understand the feeling of just one cat. Mm-hmm. Once you're in the place that you described in the crash course earlier, is it merely your intent that will establish the communication with the animal you want to establish the communication with? Is it just your intent that will enable that?
It's your intent. You're directing your consciousness. So you're directing that flashlight into that particular cat. Now, what's going to happen is they're going to yell over each other. That one of them's going to say, yeah, well, I don't care what he thinks, because what I want is this. And you never listen to me, Daddy, because I've been trying to talk to you all along. And what are you doing? They will do that.
Okay. All right. And you will hear that.
And pretty soon you're going to have a party line with all three cats saying, oh, my God, he's listening.
Yeah.
For
the first time,
we're all going to talk at once.
Right. That's kind of where I was going with that question about whether they are suddenly aware and even shocked by.
They're shocked. The first thing that happens every time I walk, if I go into a zoo, the animal's going to say to me, why can you hear me?
Yeah.
The orangutans, the gorillas, they're going to say, why can you hear me?
Okay. Margie in Oregon, you're on with Amelia.
Hi, Amelia. After I had a beloved cat put to sleep, I felt, I guess you'd say, a mental connection with him in the spirit realm. And he was very upset that he no longer had his body because he still felt alive. And a few months later, this cat showed up at my door that looked exactly like him. Mm. And I always wondered, I wondered if he went and found a cat that looked like him so that he could be with me vicariously through this other cat,
mm-hmm.
or if he actually possessed this other cat.
I love your show, Art. Because where else can we talk about things like this in America on national radio?
Nowhere.
It's a very advanced question, and you're right on the money. One of the things they can do is they share space.
Oh.
And sometimes you'll say, well, my cat all of a sudden started doing something that he's never done before, but my old cat used to do this.
Exactly. He did that.
Okay, yeah. This is no different from a person who can channel angels or entities. The cat can channel the other cat. The other cat can visit you through the body of your new cat. And yes, they can do a walk-in process where one spirit actually leaves the body and another spirit comes in.
Oh.
But I feel like in your specific instance, I think that your other one is sharing space and visiting you.
Uh-huh.
Mine do it all the time.
That's something very different. So sharing space, meaning they just sort of allow the other spirit to inhabit that body.
My vet sees it so often, she calls it piggybacking.
Huh.
That the one that just died comes into the body of the one that you have. And these are the things that I hear all the time, that the new cat has never jumped into the bathtub and played with the water. The old cat used to do it every day.
Yeah.
The old cat dies, and all of a sudden the new cat jumps into the bathtub and plays with the water.
All right, Daniel in Houston, you're on with Amelia. Hi.
Amelia, how you doing?
Hi, Daniel.
I got kind of a weird problem, I guess. I've got one of these automatic cat box cleaners. And
they don't like those very much.
They hate them. Oh, my God, they hate them.
How's that working out for you?
Well, mine is working out fairly well, except for the old man in the house, who I've had about 10 years. He's a Siamese cat, and his name is Worf. And while he was in the house all by himself, he used the cat box without any kind of problem. But when I recently got a second cat and then a third, excuse me, he will get into that box and he'll strictly go on the right-hand side of the box, and then he will scrape all the sand from the left-hand side to cover it up, thereby making it so it won't recycle anymore. And he's been doing this over and over and over.
Now, well, that's reasoning.
Huh?
That's reasoning.
Is he mad at me? Is he trying to tell me something? And is there anything I can do to retrain this guy?
Okay. I would sanction him off if you can give him his own separate box in a separate room. That's what I would do.
Well, they'll all go take it. I had Comet, who was kind of mentally challenged because he had been starved as a kitten. And so he was scared of everything. And somebody sent us one of those automatic cat boxes, and he thought that thing came straight from the devil. He wouldn't have a thing to do with it. Anything that moved automatically over what he had just done or when he just left it was just straight from the devil.
Well,
as far
they make
as he was concerned.
A horrible noise.
They do.
I tried it once, and I had four kittens that would run for their lives and then stop using
right.
the box because it
right.
you know, has this terrible mechanism in it, like a monster. I think that here's the difference, though, Art. You're saying that they would all use the box, but that's before you learned how to talk to them. If you know how to talk to them and you give the old king of the house his own box and his own room and you tell the other ones, you do not touch his territory. He is the king in this house. He's got his own box. He's got his own stuff. Give everyone their own possessions. When you can talk to them, then it's going to change things.
Okay. So you could even explain, look, this is an automatic box. It's not going to hurt you. It's simply going to clean things up after you're gone. Don't be worried about the noise. And you could impart that message.
Right, but it certainly sounds like he's protesting the presence of the other two cats.
Oh, yeah. Well, it sounds to me like he's figured out a way to jam the thing up.
Pretty hilarious. What a
smart
guy, huh?
Yeah, what a smart guy. Lee in Columbus, Georgia, you're on with Amelia.
Hi, Amelia. Hi, Art. How you doing?
Fine.
Hi, Lee.
Hey, I've got kind of a touching story and a little bit of a question. We had a dog. You know, we had her, ended up having her about 20 years before she passed away. But her and my grandfather were real close. My grandfather passed away about 12 years ago, and when he did, I'm sorry, it's kind of hard for me to tell it. She howled like she was in terrible pain mm-hmm. for about 4 hours the day that he died. Mm-hmm. We lived in Georgia, and he lived in New Jersey, and you know, we didn't tell her that he died. You know, if they were coming to visit, we'd tell her he's coming to visit. She'd get all excited. And I said she howled when he died in the day of his funeral. She was with a friend of ours, and he told us that all day she would not stop howling at all, the whole day, like she was in pain, like, you know, her heart was ripped out. You know, her friend was gone. But my question for you would be, me and my wife had a rabbit. It passed away. My grandmother had a stroke. And, you know, they were shocked that she survived. About 2 weeks after she had her stroke, the rabbit passed away. And I've always heard that animals, that close family animals, will give up their lives almost to save a human life. Do you believe in that?
Absolutely. And see, these stories, I mean, I could go on for years and years and years saying animals can think and feel and telepathy is real, and then you can prove it to me in one story by saying that a dog that wasn't even in the same state as the man, it cries all day, the day that the man dies. Absolutely they're in contact. Absolutely an animal can shoulder the burden and even take on the illness that someone else has in order to slow down the person's passage. But a lot of the time they go together.
And well, there's no question about the psychic ability of animals. It was 2020, I think. I'm sure you saw it, Amelia. If you didn't, you've got to. Did a piece testing dogs. And what they did is they would put cameras. They put cameras in the home. And then they would have the owner start home at an unusual time of day. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, you know, an animal knows the time of day when the owner usually comes home. But they would fool the animal, and they would start the owner home 5 hours ahead of time. Inevitably, and without question, and 2020 showed it, those animals knew the owner was on the way home.
Art is the work of Dr. Rupert Sheldrake.
Yes.
And Rupert actually took my workshop in London. He was keynoting the field conference, the quantum physics conference, and they brought me in as the animal link. And Rupert actually took my workshop, which was one of the biggest compliments I've ever had in my life. But the book is called Dogs Who Know When Their Owners Are Coming Home.
Right.
And he's done the most extensive scientific research with double-blind experiments and cameras. And yet you can't deny it. The dog would run to the door 10 minutes before the person comes home, no matter what time of day the person comes home.
Is it because, Amelia, because they don't have the busyness that we humans have, that their psychic abilities are naturally enhanced, naturally stronger than ours?
No, I think our abilities are that strong. We have our abilities shamed out of us. In Western culture and in our modern world, we were taught that we're not supposed to be able to communicate with animals. We're not supposed to trust our intuition. So we're constantly second-guessing ourselves.
Well, exactly. But they do have a lead on us in that while I'm sure they have little daily concerns, they don't have the kind of lineup of to-do things that human beings have.
We are their to-do list. We are their main concern. They're focused on us.
Okay.
And how much they love us. That's all they think about all day.
That's unconditional love. Amelia Kincaid is my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for her, you know the portal numbers. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell. Spent quite a bit of time at a nature preserve north of Johannesburg in Africa, and that is a land of the big ones. There's no question about that. Amelia Kincaid is my guest, and here's something for her to consider with the break that's coming up. We touched on the environment, not very heavily, certainly, but did touch on it. Right now, one of the things that's wrong with our environment is the bees are disappearing. The bees that pollinate our crops are disappearing. Where are the bees going, and what the hell is wrong? We'll ask in a moment. Amelia, I don't know if you've been following the stories or not, but bees across the United States are disappearing. It's terribly worrisome. They pollinate very important crops for us, And perhaps you haven't seen the stories and haven't had a chance to speak with Bee lately, but we'd sure like to know what's going on.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm actually going to have bees in my workshop in England this summer for the first time. And I haven't followed that because I'm not in the country very often. But our ecosystem is so fragile. And what we're doing as we disturb everything through global warming and pesticides and pollution, we throw off the balance. And Mother Nature is an equilibrium-seeking creature. Mm-hmm. So she's constantly trying to heal herself. So she's trying to set things right. I mean, my first instinct would be that it has to do with fertilizer and pollution and pesticides.
And that's probably right on,
something
I would imagine.
Something to them must not smell right. You know, one of the most amazing new discoveries in medicine right now is about wasps. But not only do they have dogs that are sniffing cancer, there are wasps being trained to sniff cancer, bombs, and dead bodies.
Wow.
And they do it with a sugar substance. So they're giving them a treat, and the wasps are actually able to smell cancer. So they must have such an acute sense of smell. And my first instinct is that something doesn't smell right.
Okay, well, if you get a chance to commune with a bee, please let us know. It's very, very worrisome, and you might look into it when you get an opportunity. They're disappearing all across the country.
Wow.
Joan in New York, you're on with Amelia.
Hi, Art and Amelia. Thank you so much for taking my call, and good morning.
Good morning.
I have a 14-year-old little male peek-a-poo who's sleeping right here next to me. He's 10 pounds. His name is Pumpkin. And he's ready to cross over. I just want to mention a little something about him. I had a profound past life experience where I was a walking teacher in the Holy Land. And when I went to cross over, I sat down beneath a very huge tree, and I put my staff down, which I carried with me when I went from place to place. And as I felt my own energy leave my body, the energy out of the staff came out and moved with me. And to my amazement, it was Pumpkin who is with me now. And I knew instantly that he was my constant companion then in that life as he is in this life. Now, what's happening with Pumpkin is he is choking and coughing and having spasms in the throat. And I wanted to know how three times the vet wanted us to put him down, but I didn't feel he was ready to go. I wanted to know how I could make him as comfortable as possible.
How do you know when your animal's ready?
Right. Ask him to give you a sign so that he can let you know when he's ready to go. And he will.
He'll let you know.
He'll let you know. Now, whether that's crying out in the middle of the night, that's the most common thing. Whenever they're about to cross, they see spirits who come for them at 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And they usually pass in the early morning hours. But you can call your angels, your ancestors, to come take him. And this is going to go in the most perfect divine timing. And he's going to have a beautiful, peaceful passage. And I do feel it soon. I think you're right about that.
Okay. Jenna in Washington, you're on the air with Amelia Kincaid. Hi.
Hello, Art and Amelia. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I'm calling tonight because our dear cat Simba disappeared in December. And in the past few weeks, we've received a few phone calls of possible sightings of her around 1 mile from our home. And I want to know, what can I do to bring her home? I mean, I'm feeling confused about it. Does she not want to come home? Can she not find her way? Is it really her that they're seeing? And I'm putting all my energy out there to visualize her coming home safely. And my whole family have had dreams of her coming home safely. And I was just really excited to hear the topic tonight and want to know. Yeah.
You're in your most receptive state right before you fall asleep at night.
Okay.
So right before you fall asleep at night, reach out to her in your mind And from a physical standpoint, one of the things you can do is turn on your porch lights or flicker the porch lights and say, run toward the flickering light.
Okay.
Now, if you upset her in some way, do you know of a reason that she would have left?
She left Christmas Eve, and the night before I was really upset at FedEx, and I was screaming on the phone. And 2 months before that, we brought a new puppy home.
Oh.
So there's a couple possible reasons.
Yeah. Well, the dog is more likely.
Okay.
But you can speak to her, listen to her right before you go to sleep at night. And if you need to negotiate that dog's going to be put out of her space so that she can have her castle back.
Okay.
Then you can negotiate this.
Great.
Okay, well, that brings up another topic. For example, Amelia, if you have two cats and you bring a third into the mix, as I did not long ago, you're in for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months of...
hell.
Well, yes. Yes.
Yeah, hell.
Yes. Yes. And then at some point, I'm not sure what happens, but I guess it's always worked, but it's taken time. And finally, they all are friends, and they will all sort of curl up in one big cat bundle together now, but it's taken a long time.
Well, it does. It does.
Is there a way to hurry that process along?
Well, no. Not really. I mean, one of the analogies is that we say that if you had one cat, and you go out and you get another cat, and you bring the second cat home, and you say, okay, look, you're going to be living with this other cat for the rest of your life. That would be like if someone went out and they said, okay, Art, I have an arranged marriage for you. I found a woman. She's East Indian. She doesn't speak any English, and she weighs 280 pounds. But she's your wife now, and you're going to be living with her for the rest of your life. Have fun. That's what our cats feel like. Our cats are like, what the? I didn't plan this. I didn't pick this cat out. And we thrust these animals together and say, you know, love it, get along. Yeah. Now, one of the solutions is that when you bring in the new cat, say to the pre-existing cat, I got you a pet. I got this new cat for you. So you teach the new cat all the house rules. You're in charge. You're still in command. It's your territory, but you teach them everything about how to live here, how to help the people, how to get along in this household.
Yeah, that would make sense to a cat, all right.
It does make sense, and it does work better.
Jennifer in Tennessee, you're on the air with Amelia. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Yes, I am visually impaired, and I have had several pets and been acquainted with several other animals. And it has been my experience that within the, I'd say up to the maybe third or fourth time, I've seen that animal, a particular animal, they will realize that I have a disability and will tend to either look out for me or learn, or realize that they need to stay out of my way, otherwise they may get stepped on. And that just to me shows extreme intelligence, because there are people who can see, there are humans who can see who don't realize that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that amazing? I'm so glad you called. I had a guy come to one of my seminars who was a Navy captain, and he trained seeing eye dogs for the blind.
Ooh.
And he said it was a regular occurrence that the humans would say, oh, I see this, I see that, I see, you know, landmarks in the neighborhood, that there was no way that they could know were there. Mm-hmm. And when he said, how is it that you could see those? The people say, well, I saw it through the eyes of the dog.
Or, you know, even the dog. I've had a service dog before, and I'll tell you this, he was the closest friend I have ever had.
Oh.
And I had to return him due to circumstances out of my control. But for the 2 years that I was with him, I never felt alone, and I never felt unsafe.
How beautiful.
Well, I guess, Amelia, somebody in her condition, if they could learn to do what you do, could actually see through the eyes of their companion, yes?
Right. Yeah, I worked with children in Mexico City this last summer that were not only blind, but they were also deaf. And there are animals that can help guide these kids. And if the children can actually learn how to be more in tune telepathically with the animal, of course that child's going to be safer.
Well said. All right. Kathleen in Applegate, Oregon, you're on with Amelia. Hi.
Hi, Art and Amelia. What a great program. I'm just loving this. I have a spirit medicine and interspecies communication practice myself in Oregon, and I agree with Amelia that the animals are here to teach us. And my question, given the grim state of the world with what the humans are doing to themselves and to the planet, what are you hearing from the other species, Amelia, about how we can save ourselves and the planet? In my daily interspecies work, including with my neighbors, the Sasquatch family, I'm really getting that it's dropping into our hearts, that there's no substitute for that. It really is a work of the heart. And I just wanted to hear what you were getting from the other species.
Well, we're here at 10 minutes to 2. We're going to cut to the chase. I think what we're doing on this planet is we're educating people for the next planet. I think we're educating people to learn how to take care of a planet, live in harmony with the world, the water, take care of their atmosphere, take care of their trees, take care of their animals. Because this is just one blink in time in eternity. And we can't either colonize Mars or go anywhere else with the education level that we have. Because what we've done is we have completely trashed and destroyed our planet. So what would make the next world any better than this if we don't learn something new? And what this is at this moment is a last-ditch educational effort to try to raise consciousness as quickly as possible and get people to learn how to love and care for their other living beings.
Yes.
But it's not just for Earth. It's for eternity.
Yeah, and for our souls. Billy in Iowa, you're on with Amelia.
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. I have a question. I tend to bring home a lot of the stray cats, and I help them and try to find homes for them and everything. And I made the mistake of bringing home one cat that was sick. She has feline AIDS, and there's no vaccination. There's no cure for it.
Right.
And all seven of my cats that I've had for a couple of years now have been exposed to that. So I'm scared to death that it is a death sentence for all of them. And the one, you know, I took the cat in, they put her down. And it's like the vet said that I should just have them all put down to avoid.
Oh,
them
gosh, no, absolutely not.
Okay, that's, and it's like it's been.
Absolutely. Okay.
Heart.
They develop immunities more than we give them credit for. Now, they're out being exposed to cats that have leukemia and cats that have AIDS. Now, this is no different from a human virus. You're not going to catch every virus you're exposed to. If you were, we'd all be dead.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we're exposed to things every day. What I would do in your situation, I'd put them on some really good vitamins, and you can get vitamins at PetSmart or Petco, boost their immunities. There's a herb called olive leaf.
And what is it called?
Olive leaf. And
okay.
It's the only thing that we know of that is antiviral, antifungal, and antibacterial. It helps fight viral infections and just boost the immune system.
Okay.
And tell those kitties every day, you're strong, you're healthy, you're fabulous in every way, you have perfect, radiant, dynamic health, you're not going to get sick.
Yeah, it's like I've been crying and telling them that I am so sorry, you know, that I did this to you.
Well, maybe you haven't. Now, should the other cats at some point, Amelia, be tested?
I would, but at this point, just because they've been exposed to it does not mean they're going to get it.
How soon would she likely know if they have if they've got it.
If there are any symptoms. If you're
symptoms.
Looking for runny noses, runny eyes, mm-hmm. upset tummies.
Okay. A cat that gets this kind of leukemia will have what kind of lifespan ahead of it?
It varies. I've known cats that had feline leukemia that lived out their entire lives. Some carry it, some are exposed to other cats, and the other cats never get it. It's not a death sentence.
Okay. All right. Ashley in Michigan, you're on with Amelia Kincaid. Hello.
Hi. I always wanted a dog, but unfortunately we live close to a highway, so we always have chosen against that. Well, I ended up getting a kitten, and she's about a year old now, and she plays fetch. And she, yeah.
I love that.
Literally brings, you know those little milk cap rings? That the rings when you untwist the milk jug?
Yeah.
They come off. She just loves those. Those are her favorite toys. And I was just wanting to let everybody know that, you know, you don't need to go buy your cat toys that they're not going to play with, because there isn't a cat I haven't known that doesn't love these.
Well, you know what? I think you're so right about that. Because no expensive toy would ever take the place of one of those plastic things that comes off a milk carton.
That's it.
A bottle cap, those are their favorite things. But
yes,
I love kitties that fetch. A lot of Maine Coons will fetch pieces of candy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a Maine Coon trait, too.
Well, thank you, and I just wanted to let everyone know out there that they're the perfect toys.
Oh, gosh. Well, enjoy her.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything that we haven't covered in the interview? There's just so many people that want to talk to you, but we're coming to the end of it, Amelia. Is there anything that we should have covered that we haven't?
Well, we could do about another 426 hours, I think. This went by quicker than any interview I've ever given in my life.
Well, you know, you can kind of sense it from the calls. We're all animal lovers, and so it's, I don't know, it's very close to my heart, and very close to obviously many hearts out there, and so yeah, we could do a lot of hours on it. Your books, again, are available, they are, aren't they, still on Amazon and so forth and so on?
Yeah, they're both on Amazon, and also my website, Art, is just my name. It's www.ameliakincaid.com. It's two Ks, K-I-N-K-A-D-E. And I have a listing on that website of my schedule, everywhere I'm teaching. The books are available. My meditation CD has a very, very slow, thorough medical gestalt.
Okay.
And that's about learning how to get inside their body.
Out of time. Amelia, thank you.
You're welcome.
And good night. It was a wonderful interview. Listen, everybody, I'll be gone next weekend in Los Angeles for that award. A great honor indeed. And I will see you the following weekend. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Good night.